Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings. Happy Wednesday. Wisdom Wednesday. Wonderful Wednesday with all of you. I'm a tad bit late. I'm making my chai tea with my latest little addiction, chai tea with almond milk. Those of you that know me know a lot of times I'm into my teas, my potions, my lotions, and into my decaf Americano, but I've been doing the chai tea lately, and I've been on a bit of a cleanse for a while, which is feeling really good. Nice little detox. I kind of go inward this time of the year. How about you? Let me know. Hey, Tamara, yes. Tamara, yeah, so good. I get that ground works, but also coffee bean tea leaf. Shout out to you in Santa Monica. The one on Main Street does a really nice chai. Turmeric ginger tea is nice. Oh, yes, love that. I love ginger tea with fresh ginger. Oh, my gosh, yeah, I love that. It's another goodie. So you're getting in the chat. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone listening by phone. And, of course, everyone listening later by BTR Archives and iTunes. Now, I've got a couple little requesties. We are going to get to phone calls. And, of course, that number is 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And please press 1 on the keypad to let me know that you want to get on air. And if you don't press 1, then I don't know, you know. I get emails, people saying, I waited, and you did not pick up the phone. You kept talking. And it's like, well, because I didn't see anybody had pressed 1. So sometimes I kind of get a little cheeky, and I'll just press the switchboard anyway. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. Great guest today, Garnet Schulhauser. Really want to talk to him. Quite an interesting fellow. Got a few books, Dancing on a Stamp, Dancing Forever with Spirit, and Dance of Heavenly Bliss. And we're going to be talking about astral travels and connecting with his spirit guide. You can go to G-A-M-E-T or G-A-R-N-E-T, Garnet, of course, Schulhauser, S-C-H-U-L-H-A-U-S-E-R.com if you kind of want to check him out before he comes on air at 12:45. And, of course, until then, we will be doing reading. So very interesting. He met – I really want to talk to him, too. We'll talk about the Akashic Records. And also, he was practicing corporate law for 30 years in Calgary and retired and then had this major awakening and succession of awakenings. And also had a encounter with a homeless man that kind of changed his life. Which I've had a few of those, especially when I was in Chicago and also in Europe, had a couple that were literally angels. I mean, guardian. We'll talk. I'll tell you stories. I did have some wonderful emails about my sharing last week about the crystal skulls when we had Carl on, Johann Kellerman. Wasn't that great, Tamara and everybody in the chat? By the way, he is going to be back. He loved the show. And we are going to dive in deeper. And I promise, I think in January, I'm going to do a whole show devoted to all your email questions and readings. And I will share a bit of the crystal skull story that I had with you. Some people that know about it from my workshops and clients of mine were listening to the show, and they prompted me, and it's a hoot of a story. And so we'll dive into that and just do full readings, and I'll do also an update on what's coming for 2017. Yeah, so if you're feeling the pull, you can always even email me ahead of time, at awakenings@selfandlight.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com for all things awakenings. That's awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningspodcast@gmail.com, and that will those two are best. The Self and Light may or may not get to me, but Awakenings Podcast. I have another request. So all of you, even if you don't necessarily listen via iTunes, we're in another round of meetings to expand Awakenings. And it does look like one of the focuses will be happening on a TV streaming, video streaming station. And I think we have about 50 reviews. But for the holidays, I'm putting out a request. I don't care if it's Hanukkah, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever else there is, Yuletide, I don't know, Cheery Joy. If you please would take the time to show your appreciation by going to the Awakenings with Michelle Mache podcast page. We are featured in iTunes. We have been voted for the last few years best New Age and spirituality podcast. I always wonder, what is New Age mean? I guess that's the catch-all, I guess. But it will help with funding and and it also helps people find us in the search engine, not only within iTunes, but within Google. And especially if you've called in for readings before, I love doing them, believe me. And one of the projects I'm working on, I will be doing live readings, just off the cuff on TV, which I love that. I love talking to everybody just, hey, how are you, So... but if you could do that, that would really, really mean a lot for me. And also the new website, Soul Playground, it's up. There's a reading that you can do on there, Sage Advice, if you feel. And you can sign up for my new blog, which will be starting. And it's going to give you a little more peek into my life. What are the tools I use? How do I keep awakening? Because there's not one just awake. Now, here I am. But I'm going through another awakening as we speak, right here, right now. and I'm really going to be talking a lot about, because I had some questions on people that have been doing spiritual practice but aren't feeling awakened, or they've had one awakening, but they feel like they're losing it or they're lost. And it has a lot to do about the soul and what the soul means and what does it mean to connect to the soul and listen to the messages of the soul. So if you'd like to get my divine downloads, my soul insights, keep kind of in the loop of what we're doing as far as Soul Path teleworkshops, you can email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com and say, put me on the list, and I will. And kind of keep you up to date with everything as well. So, all right, lovies, let's get to some phone calls. Hi, 334-863, you're on Awakenings. Welcome.
Hello, Michelle. This is Michael from Alabama.
Hey, Michael. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell me.
I said, what now?
What were you going to say?
Yes, I said I've been listening to your show for the last couple of weeks, and I really have enjoyed
it. Oh, you, really... Michael. Thank you.
I love talking
to people from all over the country. You know, Michael, I love talking to people all over the country and all over the world. I'm curious, how did you find the podcast?
On iTunes. I listen on iTunes.
Okay. And it just popped up, or you were searching for something?
Yeah, I was looking for something spiritual. And when I saw your name, because I know it's Coach Mike, it's Michelle, and I just said, let me listen to it. And when I heard your voice, it's just like I can resonate with you. And I can really, I felt the show.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love hearing that. That's great. Yes, Michael and Michelle means the same thing. And you know what it means in Latin?
Yeah, who is like us?
Yeah. Oh, you do. Look it up, too. Yeah. I guess we got to try to live up to that, right, Michael? We got to try to live
yes,
up
man.
To that.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying. Not always easy, but I'm trying.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
yes. Great. Okay. So, good. Then you'll be going in on iTunes and giving a little review. That's great. All right. Michael, let's tune in. What's your question?
My question is I'm entering. I know a little bit about numerology, and I know I'm going in into a 5-year personal, and I know it's a 1 year that's coming up, and I just want to know what direction for it business wise, because I love the spiritual work, I love the law of attraction, I love all of it, and I'm just wondering.
Yes.
What direction do I supposed to be going in and what the spirit is telling me? And, you know, of course we want to know about our love life, you know,
give me your birth date so I can see which five you are, go ahead.
Okay. It's 11/29/1965.
Okay, so let's look at that. Because the first thing that I got with you was absolutely relationship, love, you know, specifically love life. Really, really wanting to be, you know, in a sacred one-on-one. And somebody I feel also that has a lot of, you know, a lot of humor. You like humor. You like things to be light. You could be deep. You want someone to talk with, but you also want somebody that. Let's see, 13, 4. Oh, okay. Now this is important. Your numerology. Are you doing it from 2017, or are you doing it from your last birth date? Ah, okay. Want to share with you because I'm actually a master numerologist. I've been studying it and using numerology since the late 80s and even have done workshops on it. And that's why I kind of decided to ask you. The best way to do your numerology is from your birth date year to your birth date year, because that is what is most going to affect you, okay? So a lot of people do it from, like they do it like, okay, now it's 2017, so I should do my 11/29/2017. That's actually not going to give you an act. Yeah, that's because that, it's just like our solar return in astrology. So here's the thing. You're actually in a 13-4, which is major changes, transformer changes, mental, emotional changes. So more likely what I see your focus in right now is really freeing up mentally, emotionally, new belief system, getting into new group. It's really a time to clear the decks, because I also feel there's not just beliefs, but there's some old relationships that are still pulling on you. True? There's some old entanglements. I feel like there's, yes. See, the new woman can't come in under that. So the 2017 for you is going to be more of a breakthrough year, like releasing, cutting cords that are binding you, and you getting really clear about what you want. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to get clear on an ego level. What I want you to do is notice what you're drawn to, what kind of music, what kind of places, what inspires you, what kind of people, what do you notice where you go, I like that, or I'd like to do this. Because this is the year that your soul is really going to be talking. It's going to be more active to you to get you to your next level. I would say probably about September, October of 2017 is when the vibration of, a new pathway is coming in for you, as well as a someone that you're going to be romantically involved in. Now, you may meet some people. I'm hearing April, May. You may at a church, something. There's a spiritual center. But I feel like they may end up being more friends or confidants. The other thing I see now, are you, there's a gray area. I see all these cars going. I don't know if it's like a park, a horse. Everybody's parking on the dirt, the gravel, the grass. There's some kind of big event in the spring, early summer that you're going to be going to. I don't know if it's a carnival, a horse, I don't know what, but I can see all these cars going, and I can see you meeting up with some people. And there will be, there is going to be more, I feel, more socializing this next year. You're really going to be branching out. Now, are you out of a marriage or something? Divorce? I feel like there's somebody in your life.
I was in a relationship, and I've been broken off. We kind of split ways about 6 months ago. But I know when you said earlier that sometimes I'm still connected to. We're not intimate like that, but we still connect.
That's what I feel. Yeah. So see,
yeah,
that you're
you
still kind of you feel okay. That's what it is that I'm seeing then, because it does show in your aura. Another woman. The thing is, she's not ready to go to the next level, but you are. So it's just going to take a little bit more of a mental emotional distancing, and you kind of moving on your new pathway. But that's what's coming up for you: change, transformation, liberation, stabilization with your own values, principles, and beliefs. Your work. There's something changing that will be changing with your work, you know, or getting more work. So it's really about you, you know, breakthrough time to go to your next level. And then there will be a new pathway coming up after the summer months.
Okay.
Okay. Does that help?
Okay. That helps a whole lot.
Good, 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 good. I'm so glad you found us. So is everyone in the chat. Everyone's saying welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Michael. Keep listening. We've got a great guest coming on later.
All right.
All right.
Thank
Much
you.
Peace. You're Much so peace. Welcome. Much peace. What a bright light, Michael, you are. Okay. We're coming on. 325-456. Hello and welcome to Awakening.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. I've been doing some deep inner work, so stuff has been coming up, but I am absolutely so in gratitude and joy to be here. So that's how I'm doing. How
yes.
are you doing?
I am right with yes. you on that one.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of work inside.
Yeah, it's that time right now. Give me your first name,
yes.
please.
Laura.
Hi, Laura. Okay. L-A-U-R-A?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And what's your question?
Oh, how's it, I guess, how's it looking for me now?
Oh, coming on the other side of it all?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That's a woo. Honey, 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 we are there.
It's been something.
Okay, well, yeah. Okay, so it's, you're not quite totally out of it, but it does show more movement, and it shows you a little more cautious, kind of, you have the rug pulled out from under you, there's a bit of shell shock, but it does, now it is showing to focus more on you right now, and also diet, nutrition, health regime, and your sense of self, does this make sense to you, your sense as a person,
oh, yes.
your individuality,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and so my feeling is there's probably going to be changes there, nutritionally, food-wise, and with some kind of more active workout regime, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It is showing also a little getaway trip is coming up for you, Laura. Okay. Yeah, I feel like there's been a recent loss of disappointment also.
Yes. And
yeah.
My love.
relationship wise.
Yes.
You're
it
healing deeply from that. Yeah. So let's see what she focus on now. Well, it says to be open to new people, new influences. It does. Now, are you writing about this? Are you a writer, or are you writing about this? Showing a lot to do with writing.
Read a lot.
Oh, you read a lot. Okay. Well, reading is good, but I want to see you journaling your thoughts and feelings. And boy, this really did affect you. I'm so sorry. Wow. Yeah. But you're coming out the other side of it. I would say January is going to be much better, lighter, new lease on life. Okay, right now you're almost through it. You're almost, you know, but there's still some residue. It's kind of, you know, still soon. Let's see what you should be focusing on. Well, you. Focus. Now, what's going on with the career? Are you looking? Are you looking at some change with your career as well?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, that's what it's showing. Okay, so you're feeling a bit tied in or hampered there, wanting to make changes. I do feel this relationship, though it was really disappointing and, you know, hurtful and tragic. It is that energy, you not only, like I said, with the physicality and yourself putting it back in, it is going to give you the fortitude and the energy career-wise. Because I do see you even interviewing. I'm seeing interviewing.
That's what I kind of do.
Oh, you do? Oh.
I do administrative work, so.
Ah, okay. So are you going to be going... Okay, so you're doing some interviews then already?
Well, I do that
as a part of your job.
As my job, yeah, it's part of my job.
Oh, that's one. Oh, okay. Now, do you ever go to trainings? I'm seeing a lot to do with corporate around you, and there is some kind of
that's what I
conference
do.
Or. Oh, you do. Ah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All as
right.
a matter of
so
fact,
that
you,
is com-
you told me that I would get this job.
I did? Oh, I love it.
About 3 years ago, I guess.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, okay. Well, I see some expansion with it. If you do go to conferences and stuff, it's showing some coming up. So it does show you really expanding. I feel you are going to meet somebody else that even could be through a work situation. Or if it's not at a conference, maybe it's at a restaurant. While you're there, somebody's speaking. Now, are there speakers, or do you speak at these?
I sometimes
or do training?
I have to.
You have
yes.
to. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I do see that coming up, too. I'm seeing the trainings and the speaking.
Mm-hmm. That's all around me.
Okay. All right. So I'm seeing more of that. This deeper healing is taking place. And you're just, you know, we all go through it.
Good learning experience.
Hmm?
I do know that. It was a very good learning
yeah.
experience. I do know that.
Yeah.
Even
it was.
It was hurtful, but that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, when we bond, we get hurt. I've been there, you know, I'm there actually. I get it. It's, but I do see you resilient and rebounding, and I do see more with the work picking up, actually busier. There's some travel with that. I see the speaking and the trainings, and I do see you meeting. It's interesting because I feel the next guy you meet, you're not sure if you're going to be ready, but Spirit's telling me to tell you, you will be ready. You're going to be a little hesitant and a little shy, you know, that word, that phrase, gun shy, you're going to be a little, but yeah, exactly. You think, I hear you. Oh my God. But you know what I want to say to everybody, and we talked about this, and Tamara would remember, and I think Sue was in the chat. I'm not sure if Dream Master was or not in the, but, a couple weeks ago when we had the animal communicator on, vulnerability is a strength. And you're so in touch now with your vulnerability. And that is beautiful. And this other man is going to see that and actually want to protect that instead of squash it, you know, instead of not knowing what to do with it. Because you're very strong. You're very strong, and you've got a lot going on, and you're very confident and strong. And sometimes, you know, energetically people mistake that, or they don't know quite how to deal with that. But I feel, and Tamara in the chat's putting, yes, vulnerability is a strength. I feel that's part of the next wave of awakenings, is for us really to wake up to our humanness, our humanity, and not try to do it all or know it all. That our strength, our vulnerability, is knowing that we have wounding, knowing what our limits are, and drawing in people that can take care of that, you know, that can honor that because they're doing it for themselves as well. So, Laura, as you know, you're going to be thriving, and you already are. You're coming out of the worst of it. All right.
Good. Thank you so much, Michelle. Have a good day.
You're so welcome. Big hug. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. I will get to some questions in the chat, and then I will also get to questions on air. We have a couple of callers waiting in the queue. I will be getting to you. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. Press 1 on your keypad. So I see you, 925. I'll get right with you. But I want to check in on Sue. I do have a question, Michelle, if you have the time. I'm having my white animals coming back. Ooh, been to my meditation. Any white buffalo I've had for my meditations after many years of being vacant. I don't know if the shamanic drummings are bringing them in, and this is my stage, right? I got back way back when. Yes, it is. And I'm going to share something. We are so opening to our ancestral roots right now, our indigenous roots. And, you know, people think, oh, if you're Eastern European or Western European, you don't have indigenous roots. Yes, we all do. Whether Celtic, Druid, Nordic, we all have indigenous roots. We all have deep roots to Gaia, just like we have extraterrestrial. We have terrestrial roots. And I'll share something with you. I had an interesting thing. I went to this amazing gathering, birthday party, celebration gathering on Saturday. You know how I like my music. So they had a great DJ inside. I got to dance a bit. And outside they had drummers, but world-class drummers that are also recording artists, session musicians, et cetera, et cetera. And they had a microphone. Anyway, I was walking through, and this gentleman came up to me and asked about me and my heritage and said, are you indigenous? And I said, yes, Cherokee, you know. And that is part of my Hispanic part of me, the Latina. But I also have French and English and some Polish. Some Sephardic, so I'm quite a blend in Puerto Rican and the Mexican, but my grandfather, my parents are also Mexican, but one of them is a Mexican and Polish and Cherokee. So he recognized that. Anyway, I was so called that I actually did this amazing chant. The drummers, I got on the mic and we did it. My ancestors, Ainana, they all came through. The ancestors came through, and it was this amazing chant. People were coming up later. Oh, my God, it's so beautiful. Your voice is beautiful. We love the chant. And people were saying, oh, you know, could you teach us that chant, and we'll chant it with you. I channeled the chant, got to tell you. So I was like, but the words came through. And so why am I saying this, Sue? I'm saying this because this is the soul. This is part of the soul call. Remember the show Soul Train? And, yes, especially coming from the ancestors, they are there. They are part of us, the soul, the oversouls. It is just like when I did the 140 conference, I did the talk there. I chanted with them. Those of you that did my workshop, we did the in F, the chant that opens the heart more and connects you to resonance to the heart. It's a great chant to do. Laura, if you're listening, let's all do it now. My voice is a little wonky because I'm, but anyway, because I've been detoxing, cleansing, but who cares? So the thing is, if you're having trouble through the day or getting up, or you want to know what's in resonance, or you want to clear stuff, the thing to do is the ah. When you say ah, do it with me, everybody. It reverberates from heart chakra right into the solar plexus chakra. So that third and fourth chakra. So you start connecting with spirit. You start connecting through the seventh chakra. So I have the people do that. I did the subtle energy meditation. By the way, I'm going to post on Facebook and Twitter my talk. So I've had some people request, and one of my assistants was there. Actually, a couple of my assistants. And one that helps me with social media. And the other one that helps me with being more of service, getting stuff out there for everybody. So you will hear what I did, and you'll be able to do the subtle energy. Blew everybody away. They loved it. These are a lot of people that are not spiritually focused, spiritually minded. They don't do a practice, but they got there. They felt the subtle energy. They felt the interconnectedness to everyone in the room and beyond. And they did the heart chakra attunement toning. So it's simply just and the more you can do it to reverberate through the heart, that's activating that heart chakra, which is just opening to be more in coherence and resonance. So yes, Sue, we're getting the messages. I've been working more again. I'm trained in so many things and initiate, it's kind of some traditional stuff, a lot of esoteric, metaphysical. And I had in the 90s, I would say probably most of the 90s, I did early a lot of goddess work in circles and shamanic work. And I studied with a shaman, two shamans actually, and did a lot of deep training and got initiated in animal medicine and rock medicine. And it's all incorporated within me, but I'm finding myself going back to the ritual. I did a post on it on Facebook, going back to the ritual. In my work with people individually, we always clear through the ancestors and bring in the higher self. So we're looking at that imprinting right now and look at the confluence or the converging flow of what's happening, like with Standing Rock, that coming together with that part of ourselves, right? We are all one. So that part of us is calling to reconnect to the rhythms of nature, our own personal nature, and align it to the universal rhythms, the worldly rhythms, the earth rhythms. There is a rhythm. Many people are going back to, myself including, what they call bimodal sleeping. Sleeping for a few hours, waking up and doing stuff, sleeping for a few more hours, and then waking up. That's how we lived before industrialization, before electricity. So we are going back to that. That's why we have this world where we can tap in by devices, by computer, where we're living 24/7. So we can unplug, pull back. We can, send an email, do our work, go to sleep, or go to dream time, connect with Mother Nature, do some lucid dream visioning work. So Dream Master, this is the way I roll, Michelle. Me too. And Tamara, yes, I have that sleep pattern. Yeah. It's been happening, and I had a lot of doctors kind of fight me on it, and nutrition, and one of my Chinese medical doctors, an acupuncturist, you should go to sleep at 10:30. Da da da. Well, I do, but then I get up, and I'm up, and something inside me told me that this is how we were before, that this was okay, and then I read this article, all this scientific research, and it's called bimodal sleeping. Sleep patterns. I posted it on Twitter, actually, on my Twitter feed. Follow me there, Michelle Mache, and also Facebook and, of course, Awakenings. So I read it, and it was talking about where it came from and why we did that, and that there's a trend to go back to that. And I've been doing that for years, and people, it's your hormones. You're going, this and that and that and this. And it may be all of that, but it's also if you're being called to that. In the late 80s when I started channeling, that's what happened to me anyway. For two and a half years, I went to sleep and I was woken up at 3 a.m. every morning and channeling information for 2.5-3 hours, you know, sometimes just an hour. But I would get all this, you know, and I would write it down, and then they'd say, that person's going to come to you today, or you're going to meet them. And then I would. I'd meet them at the store. I'd meet them at the metaphysical bookstore. I'd meet them in my astrology workshop. Oh, my God. Or I would meet them, and then that night when I went to sleep, boom, in the morning I'm woken up, and they'd give me information to give to that person. So it is a new flow, and this is what does it mean to be indigenous or earthed? You know, we call it first peoples. Look at it as moving back to your primal instincts. Not completely, you know, Mike, I used to do classes on mysticism, modern mysticism. I did a lot of workshops and actually did some keynote speaking engagements on that. And I'm bringing a series back to my Soul Path teleworkshops. I am going to go back. People have asked me, so I said, okay, because people are wanting ritual again, I will do this. We have to modernize it and update it, but we do, you know, we do have this world that we live in, actually 4D, 5D, you know, if you look at it from a physicist standpoint, because we have the space around us is one of the dimensions, right? So we have us in 3D and then that form around us. So we are being called, you know, and you can do it by humming. You can do it by chanting. You can do it by the you can do it by honoring yourself if you can to, you know, see the sunset, see the sunrise, go in nature. When you're walking your dog, sit down on the grass for a little bit, you know, pause, connect into the sounds and the messages of all of nature, whether animal beings or the trees. I've had some amazing conversation with trees and plants. I've done energy work on them where they're actually leaning towards me, and people have taken pictures of that. Everything is alive. Everything is living. Everything has a soul. Not everything's connected to their soul. We'll be talking about that on January. I had a question about that. But animal beings and, you know, and trees are the people that are not, you know. So, yes, we are being called to tune into the nature and earth aspect of our being, not just our star seeds, not just the existentialists, not just the extraterrestrialists, not just the stardust, but the whole of our being, and to ground that and be with that. And what I want to say, and not in a way, you know, I have that background, you know, even as a curandera, as a shaman, but I do it in my own updated way. I'm not following any. There's some tradition that I follow, obviously, in ritual, but I update it to me. And I think that's very important, especially for Westerners to know. You don't want to copy. You know, drumming isn't going to make you do it or more spiritual, but what is it that is for you that connects you into that, you know, Mother Earth, into that nature flow, if you will. So there has been a huge call, I would say, the last 6-8 months. And it's been heightened the last few months. And so it's not to project onto anybody or put it on, but it's to find out within yourself. So absolutely, absolutely, I do feel, Sue, you're being called to this. And it is, you know, I've been seeing the white buffalo again. I took out my shamanic bag and the feathers that were gifted to me, the eagle, the part of my medicine from the bird tribe is eagle, vulture, and hawk. And I'm double hawk, so I have the male and female aspect of the hawk. So I was gifted both wings, the left and the right, the male and the female, and then peacock. So, and the vulture, because I do a lot of cleansing work for people, cleansing houses or energetically cleansing or you know, businesses or land. I did when I was in Europe, did it with the ley land. So finding that personal medicine. So I hope this helps, Sue. And you said, I know this is what's going on, and I start to meditate when it happens, and boy, does the heat come in. Yes, yes. Yeah. Okay, let's get to our last, let's see, our caller here. Then we have our guest coming on in a little bit. 925-575, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle, it's Angie. Can you hear me?
Oh, a little bit. If you can get a little louder. Hi, Angie, welcome.
Hi, it's Angie from the chat. I'm usually in the chat, but I got a new job. So.
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, but luckily my lunch break is 12 to 1, so I can listen to you guys on my phone.
wonderful. So,
question. Yeah, so last weekend I ended things with, like, a new flame. I met, unfortunately, his mom got sick, and he just got out of a marriage, like, beginning of the year. So I kind of met him at a bad time, and I kind of told him to go away and come back when he's a little bit better. But, I mean, you know, I don't really know if that's going to pan out. So I was wondering if you see him in my future either as a friend or more later on.
Well, first of all, I'll say that's happening a lot right now. It says be more open to a friendship while he's in this healing mode.
Okay.
And it does show he has more work to do, deeper work to do. Did he go back to this relationship, or it's just an emotional tie? Because I feel like he's
tied.
There's
because,
a lot of fear.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, but like she has his dog right now, so he hasn't actually been able to cut her off yet. So.
Oh, no wonder. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but right now it's saying pull back, you know, well, but it's not saying to cut off. It's just saying just be more focused on you, you know, let things kind of unravel or unroll a little bit. But it is saying for you to move forward on being open to other people and just moving forward, you know, not waiting. I feel he's going to be back and forth a bit. I mean, it shows him more around in February, but then it shows some kind of stuff coming up between the two of you, like if he's really ready or what you want, he want, you know. So I feel like this is something that's going to keep coming up. And you know, a lot of us are getting this lesson right now. And we had, I know, a couple of weeks ago, we had some calls about this. We're really learning, which is a tough one, because we're on this earth, we bond. We do get attached. You know, and psychologically we call it attachment theory. You have to attach.
Yeah.
If you're not attaching, you know, there's half pathology there. So we're all learning how do we bond, be connected, but see where people are at. So that's what you're going to be going through. How to have this connection, but separate out more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I've done this so many times with so many other relationships. I'm kind of, like, over it, so I'm detaching kind of earlier than I usually would. But it's also, like, I don't want to play the back-and-forth game, you know?
But that's the thing. Here's the deal. See, this is what I'm trying to share that we're learning here. And I say we because we're all doing it on some level. It's not about going back and forth. See, the only reason we go back and forth is because we think they're at a different place than what they are. So it's about applying spiritual discernment, right, to see where somebody's really at and let them prove it more. So will
That's
you
kind of what
the,
I was I, doing.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so just like kind of stay in touch, but nothing more.
Well, let him stay in touch with you. Yeah.
Okay,
you don't just cut, but let him stay. It's showing to distance at this point because he's futzing around. He needs to get more with the program. He has to decide what he really wants, stop wallowing, to be very frank. But it's saying to just
I was very frank
more.
With him myself.
Good. Yay. I love
that.
That's a good, it's showing to focus just more on you. Be a little more centered than self. Selfish, however you want to put it, and do your thing and see what he comes up with. I see somebody else around you, like, because I see him back around, and then I see March, April, I see somebody else around you that you're going to be kind of going, which one? Where are you really at? Yeah.
Okay.
So focuses you, Angie. All right. Big hug.
Awesome. Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome. We have a private caller here, 1111. Hello.
Well, I'm so glad
Hello.
You came to me because I just wanted to
yeah.
say I bow to you, my sacred sister.
Oh.
And that was it.
Oh,
thank you for
gosh.
Being you.
Queen, you know when to Queenie. Come with your queen wisdom. Thank you so much. And your heartfelt energy. And that means a lot to me. Really a lot to me. Right in this particular moment in my path. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for being there and being you.
Oh, my pleasure and my honor to be. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Queen is amazing. Thank you, Queen. Beautiful. How does someone know that you just kind of need to hear that about right now? All right. People in the chat are saying hi to you, Queen. All right. Guests, if you're just coming in, other listeners that are coming in, it's time for our Awakenings Dialogue. And we have with us today Garnet Schulhauser. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. He's a retired lawyer. And he has three books published out, Dancing on a Stamp, The Dance of Heavenly Bliss, and I lost the other one, and The Dance of Spirit, Dancing Forever with Spirit. So you can find out more information by going to garnetschulhauser.com, and we're going to be diving into astral trips with Albert, who takes him to meet Gaia, the consciousness of Mother Earth. How appropriate. All right, want to give a warm welcome to Garnet Schulhauser. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes, you're so welcome. It's great to have you on here. Oh, thank you, Tamara, put it in the chat. A lot of our listeners like to get the website URL and check out the person while they're listening. Yeah. So let's just dive in. You have your three books, Dancing on a Stamp, Dancing Forever with Spirit, and The Dance of Heavenly Bliss. Boy, you've been busy. Tell us about your first awakening. You have quite an amazing story, how you got to doing this from being a lawyer.
Absolutely. Well, it was back in...
Please. Go ahead. Yes.
It was back in 2007. I was still practicing law. And I was walking down the street one sunny afternoon in May, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a homeless man just jumped out in front of me and stopped me in my tracks. And he looked like a very typical homeless person, but there was something very different about him. He had these amazing, dazzling, sparkling blue eyes. They seemed to be penetrating deep within me, right down to the depths of my soul. And I sensed that he knew everything about me, everything I'd ever said or done in my life, even though we never met before. But at the same time, and I didn't feel violated by this, but because at the same time, his eyes were sending me this wave of pure, unconditional love that was infusing my whole body with an amazing sense of peace and security and well-being. It was a wonderful feeling. I stood there like a deer caught in the headlights. I'm not sure how long it was. It was like a time warp. And then he broke the spell by saying to me, "Why are you here?" And then he promptly disappeared into a nearby store. And so when I collected my wits, I went into the store to try to find him. I had to find out who he was. I looked everywhere in the store. He was nowhere to be seen. I walked back out onto the street, and I walked up and down for several blocks, hoping to spot him, but he had seemingly disappeared into thin air. So the very next day, I went back to the same street at the very same time, hoping I could find him again. And after 10 minutes of searching, I spotted him sitting on a bench all by himself. So I went up to him, and I said, "Who are you, and why did you stop me the other day?" And he said, "I'm a soul just like you. I'm here to answer your questions and help you on your journey." And that was the beginning of a dialogue I had with this man that went off and on for the next several months. And he told me early on his name was Albert, and he was actually one of my spirit guides in disguise. And he had manifested himself physically as the homeless man to get my attention, to draw me into the conversation. Because after the first three appearances, he was no longer physical for me. He was just a voice in my head, and we communicated by telepathy. And he said to me, "Had I just started talking to you out of the blue as a voice in your head, you likely would have thought you were losing your mind. And so manifesting in physical form was his way of introducing me into the conversation, and it worked very well. So we had this dialogue. He answered all the big questions in life that I had been asking myself for years, like who am I, why am I here, what's my life purpose, and what happens to me when I die. And he answered all those questions and many more, and then he said to me, I'm not just here to answer your questions. I want you to write a book about my revelations so they'll be available to everyone. And I was reluctant at first, but he was gently persuasive, and eventually I wrote the manuscript.
Yes, they always
first...
are.
Yeah, you can never argue with spirit, I found out. They're always going to win. So then I wrote my first book, Dancing on a Stamp. And then he disappeared out of my life for a little while, came back in the game and shell in a slightly different format. It was I woke up one night in my bed, and I saw this ghost-like ethereal figure standing in the doorway of my bedroom. And when it moved closer to my bed, I could see it was Albert, my old friend Albert, the homeless man, except now he was in astral form. And he said, I've come to take you on a series of astral trips to the spirit side, other places in the universe, because I want you to write about what you see and hear in your next book. So then he literally reached out, grabbed my astral hand, pulled my astral body out of my physical body, and I turned around and looked, and my physical body was still sound asleep in bed. And we just rose up, with him holding my hand, we rose up through the ceiling, up through the clouds, and eventually made our way through a shimmering doorway to the spirit side. So those adventures are in my second book, Dancing Forever with Spirit. When that one was finished, he again disappeared for a while, came back again, this time again in astral form in my bedroom, one night, unannounced. He always came unannounced, he never told me when he would be coming. And he took me on another series of adventures to meet some very wise and famous souls in the spirit side, to other planets in our galaxy, ended up having a conversation with Gaia. Those series of adventures are chronicled in my third book, Dance of Heavenly Bliss.
Now, let me ask you, did you have any of these kinds of experiences or questions before connecting with Albert?
Well, I didn't have any experiences as such. I certainly had a lot of questions. As I mentioned, all the big questions I've been asking myself over the years, most of my adult life. I had been raised as a Roman Catholic, and by the time I hit my 30s, I had discarded most of my beliefs that I was taught as a child, and I was searching for a new paradigm, a new set of answers. And so then eventually, in 2007, Albert appeared in my life, and he gave me the answers I'd been searching for.
Okay. So it wasn't just the questions. You'd actually been seeking to change for a paradigm shift, it sounds like.
Oh, I had been seeking answers, a new paradigm to latch onto, for years, and nothing really came, or at least I wasn't hearing the messages I was getting until Albert showed up in my life in physical form, and I suspect I may have been getting the answers from my guides before, but I wasn't paying attention to it and wasn't hearing them as happens to a lot of people, you know. And so then he basically said to me, he came into my life, he had to hit me over the head with a 2x4 to get my attention. And which he did, and then away I went.
Love it. Now, when you were an attorney, did you enjoy that? Did you feel that was party? Like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And did you have the question, is there more, or was there satisfaction there?
Well, for the first, I practiced law for 34 years, so I'd say for the first 25 years, I enjoyed it. And then the last while, I really didn't enjoy it. I started to look for something else, and I think I was really searching for a new path to go on, because I wasn't enjoying practicing law. And so Albert came into my life. I actually retired from the law about a year after Albert first appeared, because the law just seemed irrelevant to me. And Albert was clearly giving me a new path to follow, which I have been following and very much enjoying.
Right. Now, let me ask you, when you were doing the law, then you, towards the end of that, then you started questioning or wanting something more.
I put out the desire for more information, for a new paradigm, for quite a few years, actually, probably from the time I rejected most of Catholicism in my 30s. So there was a huge long period there where I was searching for answers, and eventually it came to me. It started in 2007.
Yeah. And I ask, highlight this and reiterate the question because there's so much in the asking. You know, a lot of people think, oh, this just happened out of the blue. But when you look at the first awakening that somebody's had, they've been asking all along, or divine disconnect or discontent or dissatisfaction, or is there more, or something. There's something always stirring that it seems spirit, you know, answers. Now, Garnet, had you written before? Did you know that you could write? I mean, had you written or even thought of writing before, or was this something new?
It was totally new. I never even dreamed of writing a book before.
Oh my
I
gosh.
Met Albert. I had no idea that I didn't know if I could write, and that's why it sort of struck me. I was reluctant when he said, I want you to write a book, and it's like, you know, why me? I said to him, why don't you get an accomplished author like Stephen King or J.K. Rowling to write your book, because I already know how to write books. You know, I'm just a novice. I've never done it before. And he just said, oh, there's reasons for my, you know, in what I do, and we want you to write a book. Eventually, later on, he said to me that one of the reasons I was chosen was that in some of my previous lives, I'd had some writing experience, and they thought some of that would leak through to this life. And so that's why they chose me. And, of course, this meeting that Albert and I had was planned before I was born, between him and I. I don't remember any of that, but it was all planned beforehand.
Okay.
When I was doing my life plan before my incarnation, of course, I chose him to be one of my spirit guides, and we planned this meeting, we planned this event. But you know, those things that we plan don't always pan out. I mean, somebody asked me once, well, what happened if I hadn't decided to seek him out that day and sit down and talk to him?
Yeah.
What would have happened? Would there have been a plan B for me to connect with Albert? I've asked him that. He won't say. But I'm glad I took plan A, because I'm very, very grateful about, encountering him and having a dialogue and astral trips with him.
Mm. So you had to answer the call. You could have gone the other way and not lived into this potential, but you answered the call, you know.
I did, and I think part of the reason he appeared as a homeless person was a bit of a test for me, because prior to meeting him, I sort of looked with disdain at homeless people. You know, I encountered them on the street all the time, and my usual thought is being a stiff-necked lawyer was that, why don't you guys, get a job and quit leaving on the street? You know, that was sort of my attitude. And so it was a real challenge for me, because my first reaction was, why am I talking to this homeless man? But then because of his eyes and because of how the conversation developed, I soon realized he was very special. And so it could have happened that I could have just done a sidestep and, gone around and never talked to him at all. Thankfully, I took the bait, and I began the dialogue with him.
Wow. Now, I do have a couple of questions. One thing I would like to know, on your astral adventures, you also got some message. I want to talk about some of the messages that you've received, I think are so timely for where we are right now, globally, actually. What were the messages or the message that you got from the Council of the Wise Ones?
Well, the message there was basically, they said, look, at your civilization, the human civilization on your planet, is at a very crucial point in its development. You've got very advanced technology, but your emotional and spiritual intelligence has not kept pace. And all too often, too many people on your planet let their negative emotions, like fear, anger, hate, greed, get out of control and basically rule their lives. And that's why you have so much violence on your planet. You have wars, you have genocide, you have terrorist acts, murders, that all originates from negative emotions getting out of control, running amok. They said we have to change our ways. We have to learn to discard our negative emotions, embrace love and compassion, so that we can raise our vibrations, and eventually, if our vibrations are raised up high enough, we can ascend to Earth in a higher dimension. And they said, we have weapons of mass destruction that if unleashed could destroy all life on our planet. And they don't want to see that happen. They want us to survive and get over this hurdle that we're facing right now, because they've watched other human civilizations in our past, rise up to great heights and then crash and burn, like Atlantis and Lemuria and a few other ones that we've never heard of. And so we're sort of at the same stage, very crucial. Their message to me, and they've been blasting this message out to all kinds of channels all over the world, increasingly so in the last 10, 15 years, is to say, look at guys, you got to change your ways. stifle your negative emotions and embrace love and compassion. Otherwise, it could end very badly for you.
It's so true. You know, it's so interesting that that was the message, because for so long people have been resisting, you know, and even in, you know, spirituality, you know, new, even new thought, you know, the handling the emotions. Everybody wants to do spiritual bypass, check out, and we have everything created from the astral plane, which corresponds to the emotional body, all this wounding, unhandled wounding, you know, playing this out, you know, it's like, it's getting, you know, I can see why they're saying, hey, come on, wait, now you got to, let's do it. Otherwise, you know, I know never, no one ever started a war that had a healed emotional body. I mean, it's just, you know, all acting out of the wounding, right?
No, that's very true. If you fully embrace love, there's no room for the anger, hate, and greed, and so on. It just, it gets shuffled off to the side, and it's not a factor. And so that's really the key. If you are really fully embraced with love, you're not going to lash out and hurt other people physically or mentally. You're not going to start wars or do terrorist acts. And so that's where we need to go.
Yeah.
And we need, and to them they say, not only do we need to do that ourselves, we need to try to convince our fellow humans to follow that same path. And so that's what I'm trying to do through my books. That's what you're doing, Michelle, through your radio show. And there's a bunch of people all over the world trying to do the same thing. And the pace of these messages has been picking up in the last number of years. Albert said 40 years ago, I wouldn't have written my books. And if I did, no one would have read them, because
weren't
that many people who were spiritually enlightened. But today there's a whole lot more. And I think there's a movement, a shift coming, where people are really going to embrace the spiritual enlightenment that they're sending to us, and try to change our ways. And I sincerely hope we can do it. Albert is optimistic that we can actually make the change before we destroy ourselves. But we have to pull together and work hard.
Yes, yes. And I think that's the climate of all this converging, everything happening all at once, is that, you know, not living out of the wounding, wallowing in it, people just holding on, and, you know, the fighting, because it's right, it will destroy us, you know. Did they have any idea? I mean, they said obviously connecting to love, which for some people it's hard when they're, you know, wounded. Or some people aren't getting the help they need to move past their wounding. You know, they're choosing to live through it, you know.
Well, part of the thing that helps people sort of connect more with love is to fully understand, like, why we're here. A lot of people think when bad things happen to them, Michelle, that it's God or some random act of the universe that's visiting a tragedy on them. The reality is, no, you chose your own life before you came here. You planned the major events, and then when you're here, you have free will to make actions and take decisions. So if you recognize that when a tragedy befalls you, that there's a lesson to be learned there. It's a learning experience, and that if you accept it in that fashion, instead of feeling like you're a victim, which you're not, then you can sort of move on with your journey. And in terms of embracing other people with love, if you recognize that the person walking down the street that you're meeting is a soul just like you, having its own human journey, then that you're connected to that soul and you're all connected to the source, then it makes it easier for you to forgive them for their transgressions. I mean, if they step on your toes, you can say, well, I forgive you because I don't know what challenges you've faced in this world so far. I don't know what you've planned for yourself. I don't know what you did in your past lives. I don't know what kind of karma you're trying to work out. But so in the absence of that knowledge, I can't condemn you for your actions. I can only forgive you. And that's really how we have to look at when things happen to us.
Yeah. I just did a meditation on that early this morning. I so agree. It's how to see how the other people can do what they're doing. They're doing it out of woundedness. You know, unfortunately, we may be in the proverbial line of fire when it happens, but they are acting out. You know, when you're telling me this, Garnet, when you're sharing this, it's telling me we're really having to rise to a much higher level of compassion, you know, in empathy, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. That's clearly where we have to go. And if we can do that, you know, we'll expand our consciousness, we'll raise our vibrations, and eventually, as I said, we'll be able to ascend to the new earth, which is in a higher which exists right now, but it's in a higher vibratory dimension. And I actually, I actually had a visit to the new earth. Albert took me there in one of my trips, and the new earth. And I talked with some descendants of a civilization who had lived in our earth here eons ago in Central America. And what happened was that they were sort of a fairly peace-loving, you know, tribe. There wasn't a lot of violence or conflicts. And then one day somebody discovered that there was a barbarian army encroaching on their territory, and this army was very violent with a lot of weapons, and they were going to wage war on them. And so these people had no weapons and didn't want to fight a war, so they got together with their spiritual leaders. They went and through revelations from the spirit side, these leaders led them into a mass meditation, and at the end of it, they all ascended up to the new earth. They raised their vibrations, and so there they. So these people that I met were the descendants of this of these ascensions, and they had a wonderful idyllic life. I mean, it was very simple, very close to nature. They didn't have to work, or they didn't have money, they didn't have crime, they had no negative emotions, and it was a very, very, very nice kind of existence. That's the kind of place where we should all aspire to be and try to make our earth like that, and get rid of all the violence and all the other negatives that we currently live with, Michelle.
Now, what did you see with the new earth? What were the changes that you saw? What really stood out for you?
Well, the people there, they had basically learned to slow down the aging process. So they all and they were very good at repairing injuries to tissue and so on. They had no diseases basically, because they learned how to bend all those off. And so they all lived for several hundred years, and that they didn't eat animal flesh. They ate liquid food, basically manufactured from plant material. And it looked like, to me, they looked like smoothies, sort of different colors. And they all had a tap for one of these in their homes. So they didn't have to pay for anything. Everything was looked after. And they were run by a governing body that was elected. But they never had any conflicts. And it was basically governance by consensus, because they all had the same goals. And because there was no greed or envy or anything else, no one aspired to get something over that the other person didn't have. So everyone was sort of in an egalitarian sort of society, and very peace-loving.
Right.
And it was wonderful. So they could pursue, they didn't have to work. They could pursue, you know, recreational activities. They could pursue art activities. They could, study other planets in the system. They actually did study our current Earth. And so when I came there, they said, "We know exactly what you guys are going through. I really hope that you can sort of pull through and join us up here." You know, so it was just a lovely place. It's not the spirit side; it's still on the physical plane, but at a higher vibrational level than our current Earth. Yeah, and the only way that and people on our planet can get there by raising their vibrations to a high enough degree that they actually match the vibrations of the new Earth. And once that happens, you just sort of magically ascend, and you end up in the new earth. And a lot of people, according to Albert, have made the ascension. So, most of the time, it's sort of individuals here and there who just suddenly disappear, and that's where they've gone. Sometimes it's done in groups, but he says it's open to every one of us to get there, but we have to raise our vibrations, and you can't do that as long as you harbor any negative emotions. You have to fully embrace love. So that's the goal. Not easier said than done, Michelle, for sure, but that's where we have to strive to attain that higher vibrational level.
So true. Now, Garnet, in your book, Dance of Heavenly Bliss, would you tell to us a little bit about that? I know that Albert introduced you to Gaia, connected with the consciousness of Mother Earth, and she gave you a message. So if you can, is the whole book based on that? If you could talk a little bit about the Dance of Heavenly Bliss as well as the message that she left for you to us.
Yeah, the whole book isn't about Gaia. That's just one of my trips.
That's what I wanted to know. Okay.
Well, the book is about my astral travels, and it describes a whole bunch of things. Like there's a visit to the Council of Wise Ones. There's a conversation with Gaia. I went to another planet in the universe which is governed, a human society governed by women, a matriarchal society. I had a meeting with Jesus and Moses and his mother Mary, Jesus' mother, Mary. I had a meeting with one of my guardian angels. I had a meeting with the goddess Athena. I also had a meeting with Lucifer, who actually is not the devil, but actually is a very benevolent angel. Very
the
much
bringer of
defined.
Light, the bearer of light.
Yeah.
Light bearer, yeah.
Yeah. And I had a trip to a black, he took me to a black hole in the center of the galaxy, which was actually quite frightening, but in the end result, it was no big deal. And then I had an experience at the very end with another soul on the spirit side, which led to the book title. So there's a number of things there. Would you like me to talk about my meeting with Gaia, or where would you like to go, Michelle?
Oh, I love it all. I want to hear about Gaia, but I'm also the black hole. So it sounds like you connected with different entities or energies of consciousness. And what would you say the overall theme? Let's kind of go a little bit broad and then narrow down. But what was the overall theme of these meetings for you? You know, why do you think Albert brought you to them?
Well, it's a bit of a mixed message. My meeting with Gaia was basically to give me her message. Her message to me was, and she's the consciousness of our planet. She says, look at humans, you're a problem for me. I mean, you abuse planet Earth with all your pollution. You haven't been doing so for a long time.
Mm.
And that pollution is not only bad for you, but it's bad for the other animals on my planet. And she's fiercely protective of all of her flora and fauna. And she's also upset that humans have been abusing the other creatures on our planet, you know, with our, you know, hunting and killing and poisoning and trapping and everything else. Her message was, look, humans, please stop that. Stop abusing your environment. Stop abusing my other animals. Let's all just get together and live in peace and harmony in a very balanced ecosystem. And she said that, you know, if we keep on our same course the way we are now, particularly with our pollution, we're going to end up, things could end up badly and our planet could become unlivable. And so that was her message, very very similar to what the Council of Wise Ones says, is that we need to change our ways. And she said, here's the surprising thing, Gaia said that she can manipulate some things on the planet, and she says that she can.
Right.
She has been over the last while increasing the intensity and rapidity of natural disasters on the planet, like hurricanes, floods, fires, whatever. And she says that she wants that to be a warning shot across our bow to tell humans, we don't change our ways. This stuff could get a lot worse before it gets better. And so that was really her message. Very interesting conversation I had with her.
I like that. You know, I gotten something similar in 2005. And if you look, since 2005, part of the quickening, we have had, especially if you look, November, December, and May, June, we have a lot more natural disasters, you know, fires, hurricane, earthquake. So that what a confirmation. That is very, and is that consciousness further trying to, you know, wake up more of humanity and say, look what you're doing? Is that the reasoning?
Absolutely. She's trying to wake us up from our stupor. She's trying to make us realize that these things are going to increase in intensity and frequency unless we sort of change our ways, because a lot of it is originating from our pollution over the years. And so it really is a wake-up call for her to us. The problem is most humans don't realize it is a wake-up call. Some of us are.
Yeah.
And she admits that we've been doing better about controlling pollution in the last, you know, 20 or 30 years, but we have a long ways to go yet, and we really need to focus on it. Otherwise, we'll just end up poisoning the home that we live in.
Mm-hmm. So it seems to me, and by what this consciousness is imparting, is that, you know, we are getting, you know, part of the awakenings. One of them is the shakeup. There is this, you know, something has to change. And from what you know from Albert and the other energies that you connected with, you said he seemed hopeful. Does it seem hopeful or positive that more people will start really heeding the messages and the warnings? Is what you're saying. There's warnings.
Yeah, there's a warning. And Albert, as I mentioned before, Albert is optimistic that we can get past this crucial point. Yeah, he's optimistic. But he says it's not going to happen overnight. I mean, the good spirits and spirit side could just change it all for us, but that's not what life on earth is about. We have to do it ourselves, and we need to have more people awaken, understand the problem, and then work to solve the problem. And so the people who are enlightened, like you and me, Michelle, we have to spread the message to other people and try to get them on the right path as well.
Mm-hmm. But he's optimistic. That makes me... Yeah, he is.
He is optimistic that we can do it. But he wouldn't give me a time frame, and he didn't say it was a slam dunk guaranteed thing, but he said he's optimistic we will do it, and that gives me a lot of encouragement, Michelle.
Yeah, me as well to hear you say that. And, you know, that's interesting. We don't know, you know, people have been looking, even physicists, what's the tip, you know, metaphysicians, spiritualists, what's the tipping point? And they were trying to see a number. There doesn't seem to be a number, like how many people have to get it or awaken more, you know, at least one awakening, at least something, you know. And then there are those that awaken and then don't follow through anymore. They kind of roll back into complacency or, you know, again, because of wounding, like you said earlier, the emotional body, they're not doing what they need to do, you know, to let go of, like you said, the victim-martyr archetype. That one really kind of keeps us all stuck, you know.
Yeah, it's a real struggle. One of the big challenges of a life on Earth as a human. And just so you know, Albert has told me that the Earth School is one of the toughest in the universe. We all recognize that right now. It's not an easy journey to have.
Yeah.
And he's often said to me that every human should pat themselves on the back for being so courageous as to come into this very tough school.
Mm.
And so pat yourself on the back, Michelle.
Yeah. I will. I do every now and then, but then I think, oh, my God, I do remember coming here going, I kind of knew. I didn't have the let me just jump in mode. You know, I kind of knew. So, yeah. So that was a guy. Now, what about Athena? You said you connected with Athena.
Yeah, I did. She was a very, she appeared, first of all, souls in the spirit side can appear in whatever form they wish, and they often will appear as they were in a last life on Earth. But they can change it, and of course, we all go through many different sort of roles, and we incarnate as both sexes and so on. Anyway, she appeared to me as she was in her last life in ancient Greece, and she was basically a priestess who specialized in helping people, you know, with their problems. And she was a very wise soul, and people from all over the place came to get her advice. And she managed; she was a master soul, so she managed to perform the miracles, just like Jesus and Moses and some of the other people. She performed miracles by focusing her thoughts into powerful beams of energy, and so she could manipulate matter and do things that we would call magical or miracle. And so the people were so impressed by this that they decided that she was a goddess, and so they named her to be the goddess of wisdom. So then I saw her on the spirit side, and she said, you know, she was recruited by the Council of Wise Ones to, you know, to go to ancient Greece and try to help the people there, and she was happy to do that, and she still tries to help people now today by sending, you know, powerful messages and intuitive guidance here and there where it helps. And one of the things that she said to me was that really helped me was that she said, you know, you've been asking the question, what is my life's purpose? And she said, you know, that's a difficult thing to figure out, and you really have to sort of listen to your guides, because your guides are always trying to steer you in the right direction. But the messages are very subtle. They're like intuitive flashes, gut feelings, whispers in your mind, coincidental events. And a lot of times we miss it. We don't hear it, or if we hear it, we misunderstand it, don't know where it's coming from, and don't follow it. But she says, your guides are always there to try to steer you on the course that you have planned for yourself in your life plan. But all too often we just don't hear it and we go off course. But she says the bottom line is, if you feel like your life is unbalanced, then you're likely on the right course, and that's probably what you should be doing. On the other hand, she says, if you feel like you're banging your head against a brick wall, then that's a signal that you should back up and find another route. And so that was sort of some wise advice. And so for all the people out there, if you feel like you're unbalanced, you're probably following the path you had planned. And if you're just miserable about what you're doing, maybe you should seek another path. Very wise advice.
Mm.
Yes. So if you're banging the head against the wall, you can't make headway, wrong path. But if you are a little uncertain, off kilter, right path.
Yeah, yeah. The big test is sometimes you reach obstacles on your path that you have to sort of bear down and with some determination to get through, because that's what's supposed to be. It's supposed to be not easy. But then another time you come to a brick wall, dead end, and then that's when you should stop trying to break through and find another route. So the real challenge is to find out when you're on the right path, but it's just a difficult path, or whether you're totally on the wrong path. And that's not easy, but again, she says, listen to your guides, because they're always telling you which way to go.
Mm-hmm. But you know, that kind of really makes sense, because when we have that kind of disorientation or wonder, it's just the ego that's thinking that. So we are being guided. It's just, so that does kind of, make sense to me. And the beating the head against the wall, being the wrong, that you're off path, makes sense as well. Thank you for that. Thank you so much. Now, one thing I really want to know about, because meeting Christ, Jesus Christ, fine, but Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
That was quite an experience. And
yeah.
It was on the spirit side. And Albert said to me, I'm going to take you to meet two people. He says, one was a paragon of virtue, and the other one was an evil monster. And I couldn't for the life of me think about who I was going to meet. But there it was, sitting on a bench, and they were having a very friendly conversation, was Jesus Christ and Adolf Hitler. And Hitler was in sort of his military uniform, exactly like he looked in the newsreels. And
right.
So I started the conversation with him. And he said he soon morphed back into what he called his normal shape on the spirit side, which was a handsome young man called David. He said to me, yes, my last life on earth, I was Adolf Hitler. And he says he's horribly, very sorry about all the bad things that he did. But he says that they weren't planned beforehand, and they resulted from his negative emotions just running amok and getting totally out of control. And he was very sorry for that. He told me that he was keen to plan out another incarnation on earth so he could come back and make amends and wipe out some of that negative karma he accumulated. But the interesting thing that he said to me was that since returning to the spirit side, he has met with all of the victims of his death camps. There's been total reconciliation.
Wow.
Because he says that on the spirit side, no matter what happens to you on earth, there's nothing but unconditional love there. And so
even though
they were murdered by Hitler, when they get back to the spirit side, they had nothing but love for him, total reconciliation.
That's right.
Which is really surprising to a lot of people, but that's what happens on the spirit side. So that was his story. Then Jesus was sitting next to him, and I said, well, how did it rise with you? And he said, well, he was a master soul, still is, who was recruited by the Council of Wise Ones to incarnate, way back over 2,000 years ago, because they felt that he could sort of help humanity at that stage take the next step up the spiritual ladder. So he incarnated, and because he also, like Athena, could focus his thoughts into powerful beams of energy, he created his miracles, like walking on water and turning water into wine, raising people from the dead. And he said he did that to draw attention to himself. He wanted to gather as many followers as he could to hear his message, with the hopes that they would in turn spread the message to others and help humanity. And so that's what he did. I said to him, if you could create these miracles, why did you let yourself be crucified on the cross? And he said, I could have stopped that, but I wanted to make a dramatic message to my followers, and I thought dying on the cross and then ascending up into heaven would make a very bold statement, and that's why he did it. And, of course, he knew all along where he came from, and he knew where he was going. He knew this physical life on earth was just temporary. So that's why he did it. And he said that he assumed that the religious men who followed him, like his apostles and then all the popes since then, that they would start a religion. He was more or less happy that they were teaching people all the good things that he had taught his followers, but he was a little bit upset about some of the ways they had developed over time, with some of their rules and beliefs, because they were being run by men who had their own agendas. And so there was some good and bad to it, but overall he said, that's life on earth. You can't sort of dictate what happens. You just start the ball rolling down the hill. You never know quite where it's going to go.
Right. Right. Wow, powerful. How did you feel in their presence?
Well, I was sort of in awe. I mean, I was initially I was almost a bit apprehensive about meeting Hitler, but then once once he morphed into his normal state, then I realized he was just a beautiful, learning soul like everyone else, and that he had made some really bad mistakes, but he really wanted to make amends. And in Jesus, it was sort of like a bit of awe because I'd been raised, as I say, as a Roman Catholic, and so he was the center of my religion, and I was really happy to know that he actually did exist and that he was then and still is a very wise and advanced master soul.
Very, very, very powerful. Very powerful. And one thing that you talk about in your book that I also feel is very powerful is the idea, which I agree, this whole, I don't know where the concept came from, but maybe you found out the devil, Satan. If you could speak to that a little bit, what Albert had to say about this whole idea of Satan.
Well, Albert had told me early on that the devil did not exist and hell does not exist. He says those things were just invented by religious leaders to control people through fear. And it's worked very well, actually, because it fills a lot of pews on, you know, every Sunday. But he says, no, that's just a fiction. Everyone on every soul who's incarnated on earth, when they pass on, they're not judged by God and there is no hell. Everyone goes back to the same place, which is the spirit side or heaven, whatever you want to call it. So he had told me this. And then one day he surprised me. We were on one of our trips on the spirit side. He says, I'm going to take you to meet Lucifer. And I says, well, how is that possible? Because he told me the devil doesn't exist. And he says, come, I'll show you. So I met with Lucifer, who is a very beautiful, wise, benevolent angel. And Lucifer says that he has been badly maligned over the years by humans who have equated him with the devil.
Yeah.
But he said things couldn't be further from the truth. He says, I'm very closely with the source. I'm there to help people. And in fact, one of our main missions is trying to curtail evil actions and thoughts on our planet. So that was his role, totally benevolent, nothing evil about him at all. And so that was really an eye-opener. And I sort of felt sorry for the guy because he had been so badly maligned over the years as being equated with Satan and the devil, but it was just totally untrue.
Yeah. He's there to help and bearer of light, light bearer. It's interesting
Absolutely.
How some things have been changed to control and manipulate, right? It seems like that's, and you're right, it did work. He said that it worked, you know.
Yeah, it's been a very effective tool.
Fascinating, Garnet.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, fascinating. But we're all freeing up, and your books are helping us do that. They're contributing to this great soul awakening. We're out of time. I have so enjoyed, and people in the chat are just buzzing. I am so thankful that you came on the program and really loving the sharing. It's been really, really wonderful to connect with you. And you have an open invite to come back anytime. Garnet, thank you so much for being on Awakenings.
Oh, thank you for inviting me to the show. I enjoyed this very much, and I'd be delighted to come back on the show again sometime.
Wonderful. That's great. Thank you. All right, everyone. Thank you for being here as well. Of course, we were talking to Garnet Schulhauser, and he's got three amazing books out, Dancing on a Stamp, Dancing Forever with Spirit, and Dance of Heavenly Bliss as well. And, of course, you can go to him at garnetschulhauser.com. As always, the archives, if you want to re-listen, are available at all the podcast stations and, of course, iTunes especially as well. You can find out more information about Garnet, about Awakenings with Michelle Mache, and you can also go to his website. Thank you so much, everybody, for being here. You all are so amazing. Bye, everyone in the chat. You guys were all great, and I love that what Garnet said. You know, pat yourself on the back. All of you should. Just, if there's ever should, pat yourself on the back. It's not easy being here, and we get a lot of, you know, trials. We've got a lot to go through for our spiritual growth and more soul alignment and creating the new paradigm, the new earth, creating the new way of being. For All Things Awakenings, if you have any guest suggestions or topic suggestions or you want to email questions in, that email is awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. If you were waiting in the queue to with your question or comment or you wanted a reading, I'll be back here next week at 12 p.m. Pacific time. And so you can catch me back there or email me at awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. And, of course, as well as if you want to get on the email list or get the Soul Insights, that's also awakeningspodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, have a great, great day. Enjoy your day. And just remember to continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued awakening conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.